We'd like to welcome those of you who have joined us, Vine Grove Baptist Church, on this June the 22nd. Welcome, and I hope and pray that we worship together in spirit and in truth tonight. Part 2, and how should Christians live in this world? For one thing, Christians are to live in this world. Now listen to that. We are not to separate ourselves and go hide. What good does it help anyone if the Lord tells us that we are the light of the world, so let our light shine, if we decide, no, well, we're just all going to stick together right here and not get out in that world because it's too dangerous? It will remain dangerous until the light is on in the world. I believe, as all Christians I'm hoping do, that when the Lord says that we are the light of the world, we are the light of the world. And until we act like it, you talk about needing to flick a switch, we need to flick the switch of the light of Christ that is in us. We need to ask Him to light up our life with His presence, with His light, because you and I are going to mess it up. We're going to hit the wrong switch, or we're going to turn off what if we turn off the light and turn on our tongue? Oh, man, we know what happens on that. Live with hospitality. This is one. How should Christians live in the world? Live with hospitality. Listen to the Lord in Matthew 10, 41, 42. If you welcome a prophet, now remember, a prophet is one who preaches, teaches God's word. A prophet is the one that carries God's word to whatever. Even in the New Testament, the prophet remains. It's never changed. The prophet was to carry the message of God. Old Testament, we see the prophets and the wisdom of those prophets. And as we would read about them, when the Lord came, that was a fulfillment of what the prophets had said was going to happen. So then the Lord says, I'm going to fill each one of you, which is each Christian, those who accept Christ, and you will be my priest. So every one of us who said yes to Jesus Christ, we are the ones that will, let's say, prophesy. What are we talking about? To be a prophet is one who goes forth, a forth teller, meaning you take the word of God, don't try to change it, don't do anything with the word of God except take it, go forth and tell. And we are a prophet would be a foreteller. Therefore, I'm going to go forth, but I'm going to speak for God. How can I speak for God? I can only speak for God when I'm using God's word, when I'm saying, thus saith the Lord thy God. If you welcome a prophet as one who speaks for God, you will receive the same reward a prophet gets. And if you give even a cup of cold water to one of the least of my followers, you will surely be rewarded. Therefore, the Lord is saying, this is the way it's going to work, and I promise you that when you hear my word, you will know my word, and when you are in the presence of those who proclaim it, my word, then you welcome them. Give them a cold drink of water. Take care of them. Take care of the needs, because they are my servants. Jesus is saying this also when he pulled the children to him. Remember that? And he's saying, these children are closer to me than, and frankly, it's what he was jumping on his disciples about. You let those little children come to me. I can picture them, because that was not the way it was done in the Jewish tradition. I guess it's sort of like I grew up, kids to be seen and not heard. Would you ever hear that, Brother Randy?
No.
Never.
We were encouraged to speak
everything. They can in church squirm and talk to each other. Matthew 25, verses 40 and 45. Whatever you did for any of my people, no matter how unimportant they seemed, you did it for me. And when you fail to help any of my people, no matter how unimportant they seemed, you fail to do it for me. Please let me again reiterate the importance of when we're reading what we call the New Testament, when we're reading the Word of God in the New Testament, thus saith the Lord, we are noticing He's telling us to talk with each other. He's talking to the church. Do you remember ever been in a church where that you wouldn't walk in and it did not seem hospitable? It was not a hospitable place. Jesus is talking to the believers. The non-believers aren't going to pay any attention anyway to Him. He wasn't talking to the non-believers. He's talking to the believers. Now, believers, listen, you're going to find that because of you still being human, you're going to mess up and you're going to harm your fellow man. Don't do that. Be hospitable. Randy and I need to be hospitable to each other. That's why I try to help him not to get out in a rainstorm. You be hospitable. Number seven was live with civility. Now, listen to Matthew 7:12. In everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. Now, that was the important commandment that God had do unto others, you'd have them do unto you. Here we see, in everything, do to others what you'd have them do to you. Remember again that Jesus then says after this, he says, yeah, and a new commandment I give you, you're to love them now like I love you. Not like you love you. Okay, listen to Matthew 5:9. You're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. Now, on this one, one of the best examples I can give to you is a Southern Baptist business meeting. And when we're talking about civility, and again, the Lord is saying, church, so the Lord knows because of our human condition, there's too often complaints and mumbling and grumbling and all of this. So he's saying, don't do that. Be hospitable with one another. Make sure that you teach and train pastors how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. We have one business meeting in this church, and that's to pass the budget. And we don't come back and keep saying the same thing over. If we pass it, it's there. If the money's there, you use it. If it's not there, then you say, okay, this needs to be done, so put it out within the church family and get the help and get it done. Why fuss and fight about it? So you talk about can bring peace. Eliminating all the business meetings is peace. Have you ever had your feelings hurt in a business meeting? Let me tell you how many have. Everybody that lost a vote. Anytime that you have, or you put it up, okay, how many for this and how many are for that? And when you say a church family is a true democracy at work, well, the church family is not a democracy. The church family is under a theocracy, thus saith the Lord thy God, not us voting as to whether or not it's right to do this. Why would you vote to know, is it okay, once again, and you all have heard me on this one many times, to say, well, let's vote to see if they can be a member of our church. or let's vote to accept them through baptism. Somebody show me that in Scripture where that is done. That's to take control, and civility is not present when you have a democracy. Only when it is a theocracy, thus saith the Lord thy God. If God says it, do it. But don't change what God said. Again, he's talking to the Christians. Gosh, you know, wonder, well, see, we're the ones that are supposed to go out with the light to bring the lost in. How many lost do you see one clamoring to get in the church if they've ever been a part of a business meeting? Okay.
It was kind of entertaining.
Yeah, it was entertaining, yes. Entertaining. I had that kind of entertainment in Vietnam. Number eight, live with charity, meaning being charitable with what you have. And I'm talking about possessions and all. Be charitable. Live with that. But, you know, one of the greatest aspects of our life that I see in being charitable is, and means so often more than the money does with people, and that is being charitable with love. Being charitable with, you all hear me say this all the time too, when you're around and you see a child that you've just heard them be yelled at two or three times or any of this in a store, and the pastor's wife grabbed a hold of him and says, I know what you're thinking, don't do that. But what you do do is that you make certain you're around that kid. I wink at him, and then I ask permission or whatever from the parent. Is it okay? I know things, whether you want him to have that drink or not. But, I would love to give him that, buy that for him, because my grandson isn't here. And, you know, and you use that and say, now, I would never interfere, but I'd love to. It'd be an honor for me to get to do it. And watch that little fella's eyes sparkle when mama or even daddy says yes. The daddies will say yes real quick, but when they say yes, and what have you done? It's a dollar and a half, and somebody was nice to me. I look back in my days of going to church in Buffalo. I never felt apart because of, we were dirt poor. But I never felt apart simply because I was a kid that didn't have a daddy and all of this. And that, you know, what you would go through on that. But one Sunday school teacher, don't even remember her name, but I'll never forget this, when I was in a class and they were singing and I was putting out, you know, the song. And she said, you know, you just have a beautiful voice. Well, see, it was years later that I caught on to what she had done. But I still appreciated that, still to this day. And she said, but, you know, it is so good, it's drowning out the others. So let's do it this way, where you can sort of lead and blend in to bring them up. And it was years, as I said later, and I thought, really, woman, you did that. But I appreciated that. It doesn't take much charity, or the different types of charity, to get someone to bless someone's heart. I was watching Jean a while ago when she saw that card. I mean, by the time I got through with the Sunday school classes and the kids and all wanted to sign it, I mean, it was on front, back, and all the way through, and that just tickled her to death. It doesn't take much to get that sparkle going. Live with charity, Matthew 5:44. Did I read that? No. I'm telling you to love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the energies of prayer. Okay, let me bring this to you. We're still dealing with the church here. We're still dealing with the church. Now, you and I, if we can't practice that among ourselves, then how are we going to practice that, or anybody out there in the world that don't know Christ, how's that light going to look to them? It will be a dark light. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. That's when you would see those squabbles, and most of them always had to do with the business meeting. You see the squabbles, you know, I never did like that color. I could not stand so-and-so because she had the votes already set up to get it. And I'm thinking, you know, I didn't have this trouble as a prison chaplain. They gave us any lip there that was on lockdown for a week or so. You look around and some, do you reckon any of those Sunday school rooms lock up real good? Okay, Luke 6:37. Do not judge. Now, when you're talking about judging, when you see this, you hear people tell you that all the time. You are responsible to judge good from bad. This isn't what we're talking about. God tells us that we are to look at a situation and we bring the rightful judgment. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? You don't just say, oh yeah, all of it's fine. Come on, because I can't judge whether or not the alcoholism is a good thing. So it is. So all you Baptists have been wrong all of these years. So now you can come out of the closet with your drinking and you can drink in public. See, and our focus is to not judge whether a person is going to heaven or hell. I can, and I do preach it all the time, there is one way and one name, and his name is Jesus, and it's his way, or you're not going. I can preach that, but I cannot tell someone, I can tell that you're going to hell. Only the Holy Spirit does that. Only God himself can make that charge. So, do not judge and you'll not be judged. On the judge just not yet, lest ye be judged. Remember, that was also saying, don't judge someone for over here, what you see as sin, Larry, and then go ahead and smoke your cigars that you call sin. Don't judge someone else's fault. Did you know that every one of us have faults? Huh? You didn't know that, did you, Randy?
You're making me squirm. Yeah,
and in our faults, then, what we pay attention to, we have you noticed that you have pet sins for your life? They're your pets. And every time you pray, you some way inadvertently leave that one out. You know, I'm only going to confess. When you confess to God and said, oh, I'm not going to say that to God because then he'll know. And that shows you the foolishness of man, doesn't it? Do not judge and you'll not be judged. Meaning, whatever you kind of judgment you bring on someone, get ready, it's coming home. Okay? Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. These are principles of living in the world. Now, if I forgive someone for what they have done to me, to harm me. See, I have never been able to hold bitterness in me. I mean, I can go nuts for about 10 minutes on it. And then it's over. Yeah, that person, whoever it was, Christian or non-Christian, I'm fine with them. After that time, when you lose it, you go off. You ever done that? Yeah. You know, the sin is staying off. The sin is going off and not coming back. But forgive and you'll be forgiven. Again, if I am quick Randy, he's quick to forgive me for my faux pas from last week. So, Brother Larry, I understand publicly you confessed. And I did. I told him to stay at home. It's raining, and then confront him in the pulpit. He missed a good study that night. Okay, but do you get the point of that? And once you see that, have you, some of the worst or strongest enemies I've ever had over the years, the great blessing I've got to see on it is when they became my friend. And some of them best friends. And you get that, and those are the kind that don't leave you. Those are the kind that he wouldn't leave me, nor would I leave him. That's the kind of friendship. And once you've been in the ditch of life and fought the battle, why do you think we get along so well and those of us been in combat? I mean, I know why Bob's crazy. So therefore, yeah, I know what went on in combat. So we can accept each other. I wish Debbie had got to hear that. She could have amen, couldn't she, Bob? Yeah. Number 9, live with generosity. Luke 16:9, use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. In this way, your generosity stores up a reward for you in heaven. Okay, do you remember Jesus talking about the unjust steward? Remember that story? And the unjust steward knew that he's getting ready to get canned. So what does he do? Through his wisdom, he goes out and starts forgiving everybody the debts that they owed to his landowner that was getting ready to fire him. So he goes out and makes friends with all the debtors by letting them know that, well, here's what happened to you. I'll let you know that you just knocked over the water. I'll let you know that I'm not going to be around long, so here's what I want you to do. Instead of you owing 80 of whatever, you only owe 40. And do you remember that the end of our last story, Jesus is commending the unjust steward. He said, the children of this world are wiser than the children of light. And when you listen to Jesus, you know, make the statement of, that guy, what he did, how wrong that was, but he was smart enough to know that then he got kicked out. He didn't have to worry about it because the debtors took care of him. And what do Christians or what does the family do? We sit back and we be wise in how the world is. And don't let the world control you. We are called by God to take his message to the world. And, you know, there's some ways you got to watch when you get too cocky in your pious attitude of, I'm a Christian, you're not a Christian, you're going to hell. And let me tell you why. Because you do this, you do that, and you do that. That's not why a person's going to hell. That's not why a person's going to hell. No more than homosexuality was the reason God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. It wasn't. The only thing that'll send you to hell is unbelief. That's the only thing that'll send you to hell. Doesn't mean that other Christians or the realm of God is blessed when we sin. But the Apostle Paul said, I know now that the more sin that was in my life, the greater the blessings. And he said, but does that mean that I should sin knowing that I'm going to get that much more grace? Forbid it, mighty God. No. But, oh gosh, you spend a lifetime to get to that point, and you get there, you think, why didn't I know that? Well, we didn't know it because we did not study. Did you find that that's the problem today? Ask a Christian, a Christian said, are you going to heaven? I hope so. And I'm talking about Christians that will give such an answer when, you know, whether they've been a Sunday school teacher for 50-some years or what. I hope so. I don't just hope so. I know so. Because I know Jesus. I'm not going to heaven over who I am. And I'm not going to hell over what I didn't do. I'm going to heaven over what Christ did for me. And I'll go to hell for refusing to accept what he has done for me. Luke. Did I read Luke 16:9? Use your worldly resources, benefit others, and make friends.
Yes.
Okay. In this way, your generosity stores up reward for you in heaven, meaning you let the light shine out. Luke 6:38. Give, and it'll be given to you. Did you notice how people are? I said, yeah, as soon as I hit the lottery, I'm gonna take care of the church. Well, chances of you hitting the lottery are about as close as your promise that when you get it, you will give to God. Listen to what the Lord says. Give, and it will be given to you. That's called faith. You step out, and you do it. And God said, and it'll be given to you. And not that foolishness where they say, well, I go back and I only gave this much, and I went back, and I got a check for this much. No, I'm talking about that I don't care whether it's finances or what it is. When you give, God will bless your life in the way that your life needs to be blessed. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Well, the widow's mite comes to mind. She gave everything she had. And yet the other, remember that prayer? Gosh, I hear that sometimes with Christians. When the Pharisee gets down, Lord, thank you that I am not like these other people, sinners. Can't you imagine all the bells and whistles going off in heaven? Well, number 10, live with priority. We need to prioritize our life. You want to know what's most important to you? Look at your checkbook. That's a good start. You want to know what's important in your life? See where you spend what you think is the most important thing in your life. What were all the jokes of the dollar bill and the $20 bill? The dollar bill was talking to the $20 bill, and I forgot the punchline. But it was an idea of, well, no, I'm going to church. The $20 bill was at a boat, I think. Anyway, live with priority. Luke 12:30 and 31. Only people who don't know God are always worrying. Your Father knows what you need, but put God's work first, and these other things will be yours as well. Oh, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do about retirement. I don't know whether I'll have the money to be able to not work anymore. Why do I not want to work anymore? As long as I'm breathing and walking. Why would I not want to continue to proclaim the word of God because of such an honor of being called to do so? What am I going to do? Well, you need to go on a cruise. Well, if I'm going to go on a cruise, I'm going to the Holy Land or back to Vietnam, and I want to see how many people I can win to the Lord. Now, if you call that retirement, I am working more now since I retired from the chaplaincy. And I even was presented a badge again the other day. I've had a few badges over the years of sworn officers and all, but and I thought, gosh, I thought I was retired. But when God calls you and you've been given a gift for whatever that ministry is, let me tell you when that call stops. As soon as you are with the Lord, it's not going to stop in that body. Okay. Only people who don't know God are always worrying. Your Father knows what you need, but put God's work first and these other things will be yours as well. The greatest fear that people ought to be looking at in their life is where you're going to spend eternity. Not about the money you're going to have. Good gracious, folks, the United States of America economy could collapse at any time. And anybody that deals with it knows that. Now, that's the bad side. You know what the good side is? We would still be the greatest nation on the face of the earth. Our whole economy could drop, and America will still be the leader. So, for all of you who are listening and getting out and bought all the gold, if the economy collapses, you cannot eat gold any more than a paper. If there's no businesses to buy from because of the economy, where are you going to get the food? Okay, Matthew 10:39. If your first concern is to look after yourself, I've almost said that, haven't I? You'll never find yourself. You know, I love that part of our clinical pastoral education, Central State Hospital. I didn't know, you know, when I went in to do all of that training and part of my education, I said, I'm going to go, you know, when I would always joke, I'm going where the crazy people are. Well, after I had been there and did all of that training for the clinical pastoral education part, when I came out, I thought, thank you, Lord. The crazy people aren't in there. They're out here. I see why you did that. Do you know when you talk to people who have all of the mental breakdowns and all, such as it was in Central State, I understand why they had the mental breakdown. After about 6 months living in there almost, I think, no wonder that person. No wonder so many of our veterans have lost it. We have hell in our memory, viciousness and all. If your first concern is to look after yourself, you'll never find yourself. And how many young chaplains said, well, you know, I've got to take a break from ministry so I'm going to find myself. And I always thought, why don't you look in the mirror? Once you take a look at yourself, you might not want to find yourself again. But if you forget about yourself and look to me, this is Jesus speaking, and look to me, you will find both yourself and me. It's all in the looking and what you're looking for. For those of you who don't have a church home, you're within the Vine Grove area, you come see us. 408 West Main Street in Vine Grove. God bless you. Have a blessed rest of the week.